Speed the Light is passionately close to my heart, because without Speed the Light, as a missionary, we could not preach the gospel to teenagers across Wisconsin and Northern Michigan. We could not do it. I don't know of a missionary that you support 90% of his effectiveness to actually present the gospel where you send a missionary is dependent on Speed the Light. And so what your teenagers are doing is, and I can look back to the wall, to every one of those missionaries you support, their effectiveness would be, I don't know too many people that would want to do an outdoor preaching session without a mic and a sound system. I don't know how you'd want to be able to go overseas and pass out literature without a printing press to do it. I don't know how you'd imagine trying to get across a large city or a country without a vehicle. And yet, without Speed the Light, that's exactly what our missionaries face. I do know that just for the missionaries that we have out of Wisconsin, Northern Michigan, we have needs totaling over $300,000 in needs to Speed the Light this next year. And so I guess that presents the need for you. I hope that you're there next Sunday, that you'll support what your young people are doing, because it is vital. As a missionary, in fact, if you're wondering who the person is from Missouri, that's me. although I'm a missionary, I live in Wisconsin. When you see that Missouri license plate out there, any missionary that's with basically in America that's homeside, all the licensing goes through Springfield in Missouri, where our national headquarters is at. And so every Speed the Light vehicle you'll see in the U.S. will have a Missouri plate to it. And so just that answers a question. But I could not imagine without that Tahoe out there. And now it's getting up in age. We've got about 130,000 miles on it. And it's been taking me everywhere. And I needed a vehicle like that, even with gas prices. I needed to be able to pull our trailer for our 7 project, which is one of our school assemblies. In fact, a year ago, we were in Hudson at the Hudson High School and Middle School, where we did the 7 project. And we spoke to that day, spoke to, I believe it was about 1,500 students. And when we have our trailer that I pull, it has a complete light system, sound system, a video system. We have 2 video projectors that we carry that have screens that shoot 10.5 by 14 feet. And we could not do it without the help of Speed the Light. And our Youth Alive, our goal is to present the gospel to every single teenager before they graduate. And Speed the Light helps us immensely to be able to do that. In fact, let me share with you the couple components of how Youth Alive functions, and I'll do it by a video. This video that you'll see will describe several parts of Youth Alive, including the 7 Project. And this will be coming from our national office, so it'll give you the scope of what's happening through Youth Alive all across the country. Influence, where we have godly young people that'll go into their school and view their school as a missionary, and view their school as a mission field. And that is the foundation of what Youth Alive is all about, is challenging the students themselves, equipping them on how to share their faith, to reach out to their friends. And from there, they start on-campus Bible clubs, as you saw, and as well as doing school assemblies. The 7 Project is not the only school assembly that we do that you saw. The 7 Project is now coming into its second year, and it is exciting to watch the doors that God opens. Another one of our school assembly speakers that we use, his name is Reggie Dabbs. Before we had the 7 Project, we basically totally rested on using Reggie. We still do use Reggie Dabbs. We use him about 3 to 4 weeks out of a school year. Reggie is now nationally known by the NEA, the National Educators Association, as the number one school assembly speaker in the country. And it's kind of scary when he gets credentials like that, because I just remember him as my roommate in college. And it's amazing the doors that God has opened for him. And a year ago, we were in the State Guidance Counselors Conference February, and that has opened up another bunch of doors for us, connecting with administrators and school officials. And from those doors, when we do our school assemblies, we don't do anything religious in the public schools, but we do connect with the heart issues that teenagers face. And when you connect with the issue of a teenager, you'll have their heart. Because if you can connect to their world, some of the fears and the pressures that they have, they'll listen. And we connect with them on the heart issue. And then at our evening events, when we go into community, we'll do evening events where we do share Christ. And we definitely bring forward an opportunity for students to receive Christ. Just this last school year, we've seen well over 1,000 decisions for Christ and saw that many rededications to Christ. And it's exciting to watch. And that's just through that. We've seen students come to Christ because of our campus missionaries leading their friends one-on-one through the Bible Club. In fact, in Brookfield, Wisconsin, at Brookfield East, the Bible Club there just finished up just after Easter, a huge outreach that they have, that they shared the gospel with over 300 teenagers by doing a simple thing called the Egg Project. And their Egg Project was that they distributed to over 2,000 of their friends plastic Easter eggs with the gospel message in it. And plus, of course, they put candy in there, which everybody wants it. They want chocolate in the middle of the day. And yet, then being able to pass out those eggs where you'd almost sit there and go, how is that effective? But the amazing part is somehow God uses that simple idea and it gets the message across. And in fact, they do an evening event that they've tied with that, and they saw 40 students come to Christ. And that's just one of our Bible clubs. And to watch teenagers, again, lead the way. In fact, that whole event, it was student-led. And to think that they had over 300 students at a student-led event is pretty impressive of their leadership. And then you kind of get the whole picture. Plus, we even distribute the Book of Hope. Many of you may not know what the Book of Hope is. If you hear missionaries share the Book of Life overseas, basically it's the same thing, which is basically the first four Gospels, the life of Christ written in chronological order, but it's written more like a novel, a novel of Christ's life. And what's so incredible about the Book of Hope is this last week was a national distribution of Book of Hope across the country. And we're estimating we had about 10 to 12,000 copies of the Book of Hope was the initial numbers that I've heard from the Book of Hope office that was being distributed across Wisconsin just this last week. And we're hoping to even see those numbers come up because they had a couple of the last minute orders they didn't have in there. But it's exciting to think that just this last week, 12,000 copies were handed out to 12,000 students this last week. 12,000 young people came in contact with the Word of God. That just excites me. And that's really what Youth Alive is all about. And when Stacy and I, my wife, started in this 8 years ago, we were the only missionary in the Assemblies of God in this way. And in fall of 1998, Brother Trask and the general presbyters of the Assemblies of God, the main leaders of the Assemblies of God, basically made a declaration that the high school, middle schools, and junior highs of America are a mission field. And with that, my wife Stacy and I had the honor of becoming the very first Youth Alive missionary in the country. And since then, you saw in the video, it said 22. Since we did this video, Iowa just appointed a Youth Alive missionary to their state. And so now we have 23 Youth Alive missionaries across the country, and each year our numbers continue to grow. And so it's exciting because I believe that the teenagers of our churches are the front line of what it's going to take to reach our generation. And I want to share with you in the balance of time that I have with you today of how we can support the young people, how we could basically tap into what God is doing in their generation. I think it's just some of the greatest heroes of my faith are teenagers. And it's the way they live their life. They become a huge hero to me. Because when I look at the culture in which they live in, when I walk into their schools, it is as foreign of a country as if you got on a plane and went out of the U.S. borders. If you ever walked in and spent some time in a public school, it's a whole different place. And it takes a special breed of Christian that's going to take to make a difference in those schools. And I believe God is raising that type of a breed up that can reach out to a generation powerfully. When we look at last year, over 15,000 students stand and prayed for revival around their flagpole at Sea at the Pole. How many of you know about Sea at the Pole? Good. I serve as a state coordinator for that. And that has opened up just incredible doors of watching teenagers all across the country just begin to pray for revival. When you watch a generation that just has a passion for God, it should break our hearts. To watch them be able to stand in front of their schools praying for revival. When was the last time we prayed in front of our workplaces and prayed for revival? What would you think if you had a couple of your other Christian coworkers and you stood at a flagpole in front of your workplace? What would your coworkers think? Would you even do it? And yet that's exactly the type of step of faith that our teenagers are doing. And it should challenge us to us adults. What are we doing to reach our lost, our mission field? And I want to share with you on how you can connect to their mission field, how you can connect to a generation of young people. I believe far beyond anything else I could share, it would be the most effective thing, because when I have an opportunity, and Pastor, thank you for allowing me to come today, because I believe it's one of the best things I can do to leave behind is how you can support them. If I feel like I will have done my job well today, if you will support these young people in an ongoing way, and it means more, it means even more than giving a few dollars and giving some dollars towards their spaghetti thing. This means an ongoing commitment to pray, support, and encourage them. And in fact, we can find out a way of how we can connect with the generation. In fact, how many of you adults would love to see your neighbors and coworkers come to Christ? Raise your hand. This passage we'll share with you this morning will not only help you connect to this generation of young people, but it'll also help you be able to connect with your neighbors. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as we do so, I want to share with you some of the stories that God is doing through Youth Alive. It's quite remarkable, some of the neat testimonies that God has been doing through our ministry in the last several months. And we'll tie it all into our message this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In fact, what I love about this passage is sometimes when you think of some of the apostles, sometimes we get such a fixed image in our mind because of how we do our church musicals and plays. We kind of think of somebody in an old bathrobe with a with a tie. So sometimes we get those images, but yet we get the image, but we don't necessarily capture the personality of the person. And Paul gives us a great glimpse of his personality, of the type of person that he was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In this passage that I want to read with you in just a few moments, you see how Paul reached out to the people of Thessalonia, and how he reached out to the Thessalonian people gives us a blueprint exactly of how to reach out to not only the American teenager, but to reach out in a culture in our country today that basically is an anti-Jesus culture, an anti-religious culture. It's probably more of an anti-Christian culture. It's amazing how many other religions can be endorsed and look positive, and yet when it's Christian, all of a sudden it's kind of a big right-wing thing. It's kind of a controversial thing. Well, how do we reach out into a culture that's already built to have a lot of venom and animosity towards Jesus Christ? How do we do it? We find it in this passage here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 7. And it says this, "But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children." You want to reach out to a generation of young people? Nurture them like a mom. And many points, this is what we can all do. It's not just gender specific, just speaking to women here. But even as men, we can nurture them just as a mom would nurture. How can we encourage? How can we basically lift up and encourage? When you think of what a mom does, a provider, a nourisher, an enabler, that we can be like that for a teenager of young people today. Look at verse 8. This is probably the key verse I want you to capture today. If you want to see your coworkers come to Christ, if you want to connect with a generation of young people, you must capture this passage. Verse 8, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you'd become so dear to us." This has been a passage that God has been driven in my life for about 5 years now. I can't escape it. Because it's been a convicting point when God began to pour this verse, was not only of helping you and helping connect to young people, but it was connecting me to my neighbors. "We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you'd become so dear to us." Do you hear the words of that passage? Paul got excited not only that he could share about the gospel of Christ, share what Jesus did, who he was, but he got excited to be able to share his life. When was the last time? Here's the reason why we've lost our culture in America today. It's because we've stopped inviting the lost into our homes. It's because we've stopped in some ways having relationship with them. We'll have a relationship at work, but that's kind of where we keep it. We'll have a relationship over a fence with our neighbor, and that's about where we leave it. When was the last time we brought our neighbors and our coworkers into our life? Being in a smaller community, you still have a little bit of that, but even in communities like this, we've lost that personal touch with our neighbors. We're losing it. And that's why we've lost our influence in our country today, is because we've kept the relationship with ourselves going. The church does a great job of meeting together, and I say somewhat of a good job, of reaching out together and doing things together, but we've forgotten the additional inviting our neighbors along with us, inviting our coworkers. In a couple months, we'll be back to the prime time of the year for me. I'm a football fan, so like even having the football draft on this weekend, which some of you may not even have a clue what's going on. For me, I am a huge football nut. So college, professional, you know what? When was the last time, and especially being close to the Twin Cities here, when was the last time you had your neighbor over to watch a Packer game or a Viking game? Don't want to offend anybody. When was the last time you had them over to do that? And it's amazing. It doesn't matter if they're a Packer fan or a Viking fan or, heaven help us, a Bear fan. It doesn't matter what team they root for. You know what matters is, why not get together and just spend time? When was the last time you had your neighbors or your coworkers over just for some dessert? And if you're like me and you can't cook at all or bake at all, you just go to the grocery store and pass it off as yours, fake bake it. That's probably a good thing. Fortunately, my wife can bake really well. But one of the great things you can do is just spending time with people. See, that's what's going to make and win the day right there, is if we will spend time with people. See, God wants to do that type of work in us where we can not only be able to be delighted to share with them the Word of God, to share with them what Jesus Christ has done on a cross and who He really is, being the Son of God. But beyond that, we need to be able to share life. When our neighbors and coworkers know that we go through some incredible difficulties, do they know where we go? Do they know what we do when those tough times hit? Can they see the life of Christ flowing through our life, our commitment, our faith? Do they see it in our day in and day out experiences? Are they challenged by how they can see that faith? One of the greatest things we can do to this culture, to a generation of young people, is being transparent. Is by being the same person that you are in front of a crowd, or the same person in a church, being that same person when you're out of these four walls. One of the greatest things you can do is just be you and reach out to a generation of young people. They're looking for adults that'll be willing just to step in their life and just be real and genuine. And the big thing, though, is that this generation of young people, they've already been bitten by the adults in their world. Many of the unchurched teenagers have a bent connection towards adults and the fact that they've been burned by them, and so it takes time in order for us to develop those relationships as an adult with them. And one of the greatest things you can do is live consistently and be consistent, knocking on their door, just letting them know that you're thinking of them, that you're praying for them. As a church, you do that for a generation of young people, it is huge. To love on them by just letting them know that, just like a mom, that you're there for them. Ask them how their day's been going. Ask them how their work is going. Ask them how school's going. The more you start developing relationships, relationship is what's going to make that work. So I pray that you're already seeing the connections here. It takes you valuing people, and it takes a willing to connect with them as people. The second connection point this morning that I want to share with you is connecting with them as people of passion. See, God's raising up a generation of young people that are very passionate about knowing Jesus and to get Him known. That's why some of them are some of the greatest heroes of my faith today. When I think of some young people, in fact, they were in the Pentecostal Evangel last week. We had two of our Wisconsin young people featured very prominently in the Evangel last week. One was Tyler Morey. Tyler's a young person out of Kimberly, Wisconsin, who just a couple years ago, as a campus missionary, began to just dream of a way that God would help him to reach out. And it started with just five friends that he was praying for. But God kept adding to his list, and he kept writing them down. He had a notebook of over 120 names of students that he was praying for. And he had a very neat system of color coding and symbols. because he'd keep track of if he had invited them to come to his youth group or not. He had kept track if he had called them, if he had left them a note, just an encouraging note in their locker or given it to them in the hallway. Tyler looked for ways to connect with his friends. And over that course of the year where he was reaching out to over 120 students, over 80 of them, get this, over 80 of them came to his youth group. And of that 80 that came to his youth group, over half of them ended up making decisions for Christ or rededicating their hearts to Christ and became part of that youth group. This is a church that was a home missions church. In fact, this youth group, when Tyler was making this commitment, was basically a youth group running about 20 young people. Today is averaging over 100. But it simply started with Tyler getting to be a passion to be a campus missionary. The other student that was in the evangel last week, her name's Cassie Chivers. In fact, Cassie's been doing some traveling with me over the course of the last several months. See, it was in February of last year, Cassie was abducted from a hotel in Madison. Made national news because they were trying to find the guy that tried to get away with her. And her ability to get free from that abductor was nothing but a miracle. Because here is a guy that turned out, after they captured him a week later after this abduction attempt, turned out to not... In fact, as the FBI got involved in the case from the tip from the man's wife, because the national media was showing the surveillance camera of the guy coming into the hotel, they had that much video image of him. And they were trying to find out if anybody knew of him, and it was going on Fox News, CNN. The wife spotted it on TV. In fact, she even made a comment. She goes, when he came in, he goes, look at this guy. Can you believe this guy did this? He did this at this hotel. In fact, the hotel turned out to be not too far from their home where they were living. But as time went on, the wife discovered it was him. Turned him into the FBI. The FBI arrested him 1 week after attempting to abduct Cassie Chivers. And the amazing part about Cassie's testimony is not that she had to go through a traumatic ordeal. Now, the great part of Cassie's story is what happened several months later. In fact, in November of this last year, that happened in February of 04. And in November of 04, James Perry had been sentenced. Because they found out through the FBI had been monitoring him because he was a child pedophile and had been doing a lot of uploading of sexual perverted videos. In fact, videos of him molesting kids up on the websites. So the FBI had been monitoring him and were looking for more grounds of being able to arrest him. And it was in that process, when they got this tip, they had all that they needed to arrest him. And the amazing part was they found out that he was just not only this pedophile, this molester. It turns out that he turned out to be the Madison Mall rapist too. And as they had talked with the Madison police, they talked about how they were looking for this man who had raped for 25 different women. And it turned out the trail had gone cold because he quit raping women. He had gotten involved in this child pedophile ring and went to that and quit raping women. That's why the trail went cold. But here, because of his attempt on taking this little teenage girl, 13 at the time. In fact, just a few weeks ago, she turned 15. An amazing part was, here's a little 13-year-old, could be traumatized for life. In fact, when she went in to identify the man, here was women, some of the rape victims, well into their 40s now, that were just curled up like a ball, weeping. As he came in, they would just tremor. And yet, here's a little 13-year-old girl just blowing some bubbles, not oblivious to what she had gone through. But the peace of God had been so strong with her through this. And the amazing part was when James Perry was sentenced to over 400 years in a federal prison for all of his actions. The amazing part was people had walked up and said to him, sir, you don't deserve to live. Sir, you, in fact, basically cussed at him, saying you're a blankety blank and you deserve to go to hell. Up walks a 14-year-old girl. And just says words like this, Mr. Perry, you need to know that there isn't probably a day for the rest of my life that I won't think of you. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about what you tried to do to me that day. But you need to know this. Every time I think about you, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying that the same God that's forgiven me will forgive you. And he will forgive you if you just reach out. That's pretty amazing. Because the very moments... In fact, it was on 2020, over a month ago, Cassie has been able to share her testimony on the Montel Williams show. 2020, it was aired the first part of March. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, she filmed and videotaped an episode for the Oprah Winfrey Show, and it'll be viewed. They're going to broadcast it sometime in the month of May. And the amazing part was when you watched the video that they showed on 2020 of the courtroom, the camera fixed on James Perry. And off camera, you could hear Cassie basically saying, "I forgive you." And when you heard those words, "I forgive you," James Perry, this molester, this man you'd think that would have such a hardened heart to be able to do these despicable acts, just became a lump, basically a pool of tears, and just wept. And it's the power of God using through this little girl. And now she's being able to share her testimony. God's opening up doors for Cassie that is just like the Oprah Show. It's just absolutely a miracle when you even look at that. Because the message is very simple. Just trusting Jesus. Teachers, we're asking her when it finally came public in November, Cassie's calling me up, just saying, "Kent, you won't believe this. This last week I got to share with 10 of my teachers because they're finding out about this. And they're amazed because they watched me here in the school year and they're like, how did you keep it together? They said, we couldn't tell a difference in you whatsoever. We still can't tell a difference in how you were acting right when that was supposed to have happened. And looking at you today, we can't tell a difference." And all she could sit there and smile, and she goes, "All I can tell you is it's Jesus. Jesus was with me. Jesus covers me. And he can do the same for you." And she just begins to turn it. In fact, many of the different television networks that have come, Cassie has been turning it as a witnessing opportunity. And one time I was off traveling to go speak at a youth service near Green Bay a few months ago. In fact, it was when a Channel 2, our ABC affiliate, just the week before she was going to be on 2020, the local affiliate came to interview her to basically promote the fact that she was going to be on 2020. And for an hour and a half, Cassie's mom, Debbie, called me on my cell phone. She goes, "You'd be proud of her today." For the last hour and a half, while the reporter and the cameraman were getting ready to do the video shooting and stuff, Cassie's just sitting there witnessing to him and wouldn't let up on him. Basically, was just giving it to him. And see, God's blessing her and giving her that opportunity to own the day. And yet what's so amazing is it doesn't take horrific, traumatic moments like this so that we can own our day and the relationships that we have in our life. It just takes us being faithful where God has us right now. See, each one of you in this place this morning, God has placed you in some incredible places of opportunity to reach out to a whole circle of people that no one else could ever go to. No other missionary could be as effective as you are. That's why I love what I do with these teenagers, is because they are some of the greatest examples to spur on your faith, and you're missing it in the front rows of your church. When I can think back to some of the things that Mark did on his school before he became an old man and graduated high school. And when I think of other students over the years that have made commitments and been passionately living for Jesus, they've made impacts in the lives of people. And that's what it's going to take, is one heart by one heart, one life by one life. We can make a difference in our communities if we begin to dream and to be committed to it with a passion. See, it's students like Tyler and Cassie that are just making a difference in this world. And there are so many other teenagers like Justine, an Amy, a Katie. These are just some that emailed me this last week, just let me know how things are going in their life. See, this generation is so desperate. They need your prayers. They need your support. If I could I have you guys help me? I'd like every single adult to get one of these, if you would. And the brochure you're receiving right now is basically a prayer zone. It's called Prayer Zone Partners. And the desire for me is, and this is basically a glimpse I want you to be able to have of connecting to the young people of your church in an ongoing way of supporting them, of supporting Craig and what God is doing in this youth ministry. Here's a way to help support them in an ongoing way every single day. The prayer zone concept is very simple. It doesn't take a rocket science to understand it. It's very simple. Here it is. Every time you drive by a school zone, you make it a prayer zone. So every time you drive by a school, you see the flashing yellow light. Would you take those moments to give some drive-by praying as you drive by that school? Would you begin to just make that school zone a prayer zone? Now, some of you are like me. You don't drive through a school zone unless you're dropping off your kids. Some of you may not have kids anymore. But you know what? You'll see a school bus. And anytime you see a school bus on that, out on the highway or on a road, would you begin to pray for the teenagers of your church? See, they need your prayers ever more than before. Just this last week, we were doing school assemblies in inner city Milwaukee. And yet what's so amazing is we went from the inner city of Milwaukee from Monday and Tuesday and then ended up in some small communities like Wazakie, a town of 600. And to be able to speak at Wazakie High School and the middle school students right there, to be able to speak, in fact, we spoke from 5th to 12th grade in our school assembly with Reggie. So there's about 300 students in that clump right there, and to be able to offer hope. But what was so amazing in those days, in those assemblies, and it's quite sad actually, is to watch many of the same problems, almost to the same scale of what you'd see in an inner city school in Milwaukee, into a very small rural community. It's been troubling to me in the last 2 years, and it seems like it's only snowballing in a bigger way, of watching teenagers just being wrecked by the conditions of their world. Basically having a semblance of a family ripped away and replaced with weekend visits of having to visit this parent or that parent and living separated from them. Having any standard of right or wrong replaced with truth, with taking truth and replaced with whatever you want truth to be. That's basically what our culture is telling their young people. Truth is whatever you want it to be. They have no standard of right or wrong. Right or wrong is whatever you want it to be, right or wrong. Isn't that confusing? It's even worse to a teenager trying to grapple what is right, what is wrong, what's the right thing to do. And yet they don't have any adults that are going to be willing to really help pave the way for many of them. By this prayer zone brochure that you have in your hand is a very simple way for you to say, I'll commit to pray for the young people of your church. You'll commit to pray in an ongoing way for the schools of this area. In fact, on the brochure, on that place to fill out, if you just mark the two top boxes, basically on that brochure, if you mark the boxes that say, I'll be praying for my area schools and that I will be a prayer zone partner, by doing that, any information you put on there, those first two boxes, you will not be put on any mailing list. I will tell you this right now. The Book of Hope people helped us create this brochure. Now, if you mark, please add me to His Story mailing list. That's basically part of Book of Hope. If you want to know how to distribute Book of Hope in your community, you mark that. They'll send you information on that. And you'll get on their mailing list. But that's only if you check the bottom two boxes. You put the other two, the top two, you'll not be put on any mailing list. You will not get anything solicited to you at your mailing address or your email address. You just need to know that. However, on your email address, I will send you about a quarterly update of some things to pray for, and that's it. There'll be no solicitation. Is that not cool? I just want you to be straight. I just want to be straight up that you know if you fill this out, you're not going to get hit up. You're not going to have some telemarketer calling you or something in your mailbox. If you mark those top two, this is all about supporting your young people and praying for revival to happen in our communities. And it all starts in prayer. Those are the day that we've, any tour, any place that we've been able to go with the 7 Project or with Reggie or some of our other speakers that when we've done school assemblies, it's all happened because it started with people beginning to pray. Just this last week, in fact, at our evening event that we did in a larger community, we also did schools in Marinette and Menominee, Michigan and Marinette. And as we did those schools and went out and did Wazakie, the school district from Wazakie had one of their school buses bring students into our evening religious event. The school district did it. And yet you need to know how that happened. It's because I had a 55-year-old lady that's one of the school bus drivers basically go into the principal and say, you know what, we need to send a bus to that evening thing. And the principal went, well, no, it's kind of a religious thing, right? And she goes, yeah, but you keep telling me and I keep hearing you want to get these students off of drugs, you want to stop teen pregnancy, you want to stop, and she just kept rattling off all the negative stuff. She goes, I can think of no better way. We need to bust them up as much as we can. And they sent a whole bus of 30 students. 10% of the students that were there that day got to come to that evening event. In fact, that evening event, we saw 100 students come to Christ. And a good hunk of them, strong hunk, 2/3 of them that were on that bus came to Christ that night. And you know what? It all started with a 55-year-old lady that was a prayer zone partner. She can remember signing up to be a prayer zone partner when I was at their church 1.5 years before. See, many of you will be a prayer zone partner, and if you'll pray for these young people, you'll make the difference in their life. See, I'm standing here today because of a prayer zone partner concept when I was a teenager back in the 80s. That tells you how old I am. I turned 40 in 2 weeks. And it was because I had 15 different men in my home church in Western Nebraska that began to pray for me. None of those men were youth leaders. None of those men were involved with the youth ministries. That's the amazing part. They were sound men. They were board members. Some of them were just Christian businessmen. And as God opened up doors for me on our sports teams, that God just gave me opportunities through athletics, they just kept praying that God would allow me to use that to glorify God. And the cool thing is he did. We watched our Bible club grow my senior year from 20 students to over 120. We watched many of my classmates come to Christ. And even some that I never thought, even as I was telling the students in Sunday school, I can remember sharing numerous times with different students, but at our high school reunion, our 20-year reunion last summer, the amazing part was I had other ones of my friends that I knew that they had never made a decision to Christ when we graduated. And yet I remember, I mean, I couldn't even remember some opportunities of sharing with them in a library, or some of them were pulling out, said, Kent, I remember talking with you at this such and such time, and I don't remember it. And yet somehow God took those words, whatever I said, and planted it in their heart, that when they started going through some tough times, when their marriage was falling apart, when the new job that they were on was going south and they were being laid off, when the pressures of life hit, those were some of the things. It was part of the seeds, and plus other Christians that had spoken to their life over the years, reverberated in their life, and it helped lead them to Christ. See, we all do those types of things. And yet I know I would not have been able to do what I did without having the prayers of adults, just like you. Many of you would be just like the prayer zone partners that prayed for me. See, that's the greatest thing I feel like I could leave behind for us today, is that when teenagers, some of the greatest heroes of our faith, some of the greatest heroes for your church are standing, are not just on that back wall. Some of the greatest heroes of our faith are in the front rows up here in this church today, if we're only going to be willing to get behind them and keep praying for them. And here's what I'd like to do. So if you would fill out that brochure before you leave, on the middle of my table, and I want to say this now before I forget, on the middle of my table is a white, little white sticker. It's a static clean window sticker that you stick on the inside of your windshield. It's just like when you get your oil changed. And just for signing up, if you would take a couple of them, put them in all your vehicles. And just, it's a reminder to help you remember to pray when you go through that school zone or you see that school bus. So remember to pray for your young people, that commitment you're making to pray for them today. We have a prayer zone partner that's a photographer for the public schools. And it's such an incredible story because they just say, in fact, this last year, just the last school year, because of all the schools that this photographer has been able to go in. In fact, look, this photographer actually looks, in fact, will touch on a shoulder somehow, positioning that student for their portrait. And every time they think, when they touch, they just pray a quick prayer inside, praying for that student. This prayer zone partner has prayed for 120,000 students in the last year because of all the schools. Is that not exciting? To be able to have a personal connection. See, this is my prayer. Each one of us can make a difference and just be able to pray with the influence that we have of the teenagers that God brings in our life. And you can make that difference for them in prayer. If I could have the young people, I want all the young people to join me up front here right now. I want us to make a line across the front. Well, I know we'll have to go up the sides, but I want all the young people up here with me. Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. You're not going to have to do jumping jacks and eat soda, crackers. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah, you're old enough, or young enough. I'll let you be that. Cool. Let's stretch out all the way across here, guys, so you don't have to bunch up on one side. One line all the way across. Awesome. What a good-looking group of students. Is this not a good-looking group? Isn't that great? It's a good-looking group of teenagers, isn't it? And yet there's a part of our mission field today that right now is just waking up from their events of this weekend. There's some of our mission field that literally right now are really wondering, could this day not go any slower? And they're just wondering, is there anybody in this world that really loves them at all? See, there's a huge part of our mission field that's just desperate for someone to love them. And this is going to be the primary means of reaching them, is going to be God using these teenagers right here to reach out to their friends. But you know what? They need your prayers. They cannot do it without you praying for them in an ongoing way. I would not be here today if it was not for adults that were praying for me in an ongoing way. If you'd be willing to be a prayer zone partner with these young people, the young people of your church. I want you to join us up here because we're going to pray for them. Your church task for you is cut out. Look how many young people we got. But if you'd be willing to pray for these young people, I want you to stand up and I want you to come with us here. This is great. Don't worry, they're not going to scare you. This is a mission field you don't have to fear, all right? It's a good-looking group of young people, which is a miracle because Pastor Craig is ugly. And so normally you should have a youth group of ugly kids, you know, like begets like. But you got a good-looking group of kids. And they are cool. I have enjoyed my time with them. In fact, I can remember many of your young people from Assembly Park. I mean, they stand out. All right, this is something you can always know about the young people of this church, is that they stand out. Because I don't have to sit there and think, where are you from? They have a personality about them that always stands out. You know the kids from Wilson. You know it. You know the young people from this church. And it's a little bit is because, you know, yeah, like Mark, they're a little warped. No, it's not. I'll get you, dude. It's, you know what? They're just good young people. And you know what? The way we keep them going in that pathway is by the support and the love that you're going to keep showing them. When they know that they've got a church here that'll be here with them through thick and thin. It's why gangs are so prevalent today, is because teenagers look around and they don't have anybody else that'll walk with them, so they turn to a group of their friends. That's why gangs grow, right there, bottom line. And you know what? They're a group that lives what they say they will do. That's why as a church, is if we're committed to Jesus, then let's live it. Let's not double talk it. If we profess Jesus here, we've got to profess Him in our home, profess Him at work. And when we do it, we'll see, we'll win the day, because these young people will have confidence in who we are. So young adults, here's what I want you to place your hand on the shoulder of a young person in front of you. So just step forward, just place a hand on the shoulder. That's only letting you know that they're going to be praying for you. And that hand, I pray, young people, you'll know that that's a hand of God. In a sense that God could motivate an adult to pray for you in an ongoing way, and that He cares for you, that He thinks of you so great that He would basically motivate an adult to let you know how valuable you are. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the young people of this church. God, each one of them is so special and so unique. And God, we thank You for them today. God, each one of them, Lord, is so precious to You. And Lord, I pray that we will raise up that type of a jealous heart in our heart, that each one, each heart, each life, each teenager that ever darkens the door of this church, and Lord, that is influenced by so many of these other lives of these young people, as they go out and influence their friends, that God, through them, we pray an anointing will go forward. We pray a hedge of thorns of protection around these young people, that God, as they go to their schools tomorrow, whether it's a public or private, if it's a homeschool, God, as they go out to their neighborhood and their community in which they live, Lord, we pray an anointing upon them, that God, they will not be influenced by this generation and by this world. But God, we pray such an anointing of Your Holy Spirit just to be so poured upon their life, that God, as they go into their community, as they go to their mission field, that God, they will influence it and not be influenced. That God, they will be the influencer. Lord, we pray just an anointing upon each young person. And Lord, I pray that each young person will know deep in their heart right now that God, there is a loving God that has saw through the needs that they were walking in with today. That God, You saw every single need that's written on their heart today. And God, that You could show it so clearly by that hand that's on their shoulder right now, to know that I will walk with You. God, may they hear Your voice that says that You will stand with them and walk through them. Through even the valley of the shadow of death, God, we shall not have to fear evil because You are with us. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus right now, in the name of Jesus, that God, You will anoint each young person powerfully. God, may they know Your love and they experience it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'd like to do one last thing. Young people, and this is one of the neat things because I travel all over. Been in Upper Michigan, Lower Wisconsin. Next week I'll be in Nisida. Week after that, be Sheldon. I'm all over the place. One of the neat things, though, is regardless of where it is, this truth is always happens. And I want you to look at all the adults that just prayed for you. Look at them from the head to their toes. You look at the shoes that they're wearing. Here's the one thing you need to know about the adults that just prayed for you. It's a dirty secret, all right? But here it is. they don't have it all together. All right? And I know some of you are going, duh, that's so new about that. Here's one of the neat things that I know. And young people, I want you to show what I already know of your generation. This is a generation that sometimes, guys, the media makes it out, this generation out, to be so hard and so heartless, and it is so far from the truth. But sometimes before you can get to the heart, you've got to get through a layer. And a lot of that layer has been built up because of the adults in their life. And when they see an adult that they can trust, that they know loves them, and you've shown that over consistency, they're there for you. And since you've already prayed for them, I want the young people, I want you to do this. I want you to place a hand on the shoulder of an adult that just prayed for you. And let's pray for all the adults in this church, because this isn't a one-sided thing. This is a together thing. And let's pray for the adults and the needs that they have, because they don't have it all together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every single adult right now in the name of Jesus. God, it's because of their steps of faith, their commitment, God, that this church is standing here right now. God, this church being a lighthouse to this community. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you'll just begin to reach out and minister and touch to every single adult that's standing right here in this service, in this room today. That God, whatever need they may have that's written on their heart today, that God, according to your riches and glory in heaven, God, may you reach out and minister and touch every single need, whether it's financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever the need might be, God, we pray in the name of Jesus, let it be met. That God, it could only be you answering and meeting this prayer, we pray. And Lord, we pray as these adults will go to their mission fields here in a few moments, that God, as we dismiss here, that God, as they go to their mission field, their place where they work, God, the neighborhood in which they live, God, may we be missionaries to show your love in a powerful way. Lord, we pray your anointing of hedge of thorns of protection around these adults, that God, they will not be influenced by this culture, but God, may we be so transformed by your power and your love for us, that God, we will be influencers, that we will show your love, your joy, your peace, God, that you've poured in our hearts. May we share it and live it to others. Lord, we thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Mann, and I thank you, God, for his vision, his direction, his leadership in this church. Lord, I thank you for the leadership of this church, God, that you will just anoint and bless. God, I pray Nehemiah prayers, just as you gave Nehemiah a dream and a vision, but God, you not only left it there, you also gave him all the resources and all the people to accomplish those dreams. And God, I pray may the dreams that have ever been dreamt for this church come to pass. Lord, we speak it in faith, Lord, that you will, we proclaim it in faith in the name of Jesus, that God, you will give greater influence of this church in this, into these communities throughout this area. God, according on the telecast, on the cable channel, whatever means it might be, God, through our lives interacting one by one, may we begin to reach this area powerfully for you. God, we dedicate this to you. And Lord, we thank you for this church. May you anoint and bless in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to say, as I turn it back to Pastor, thank you for letting me be here today. Maybe perhaps God would speak to your heart of wanting to join and commit with us at our table. There's a little simple form. It's called basically a faith pledge form, that if maybe God would speak to your heart to help support us monthly, you might do that. But definitely, as you're doing the prayer zone, also think of us and my family as we're traveling. Pray for the Hulberts. As you enter that school zone, you see that school bus, say, God bless the Hulberts today. But then especially remember the faces. I pray that you remember this, the faces of the students. The student that you just prayed for, pray for them. Pray for each face as you see that school zone. God bless you. Thank you for letting me be here today.
Just feel a good spirit here today.
Thank you.
good message today. It's always helpful for us to know, be reminded that wherever we live, that is our mission field.